As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2022. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Sedgwick County Manager Tom Stoles. Welcome to Issues 2022. Tom?
Well, thank you, Steve. Good to be here.
Start of a new year. Think it'll be better than the last two?
Well, that remains to be seen. Well, it's sure not starting out real great, but hopefully we'll turn a corner.
During the COVID pandemic, Sedgwick County health officials have been at ground zero regarding organization, information, treatment. Would you assess, please, the county's performance with regard to the pandemic and our health officials?
Well, it's just, I'll tell you what's tough about this, Steve, is nobody has the tarot card that can read the future of what's going to happen. We think that we're going to get around a corner. We think that we're going to, you know, maybe be able to slow down testing and, you know, move to a recovery stage. And it's not happened for us yet. I think that's still today one of the biggest topics with the county. And I know that, you know, as a community, we just try to get past this and move on. But we're still having to deal with this, and that's evidenced by what's going on in our hospitals today. The lines for testing, we're still running vaccine clinic. When we received federal monies almost 8 months ago, which are the American recovery monies, it was exactly supposed to be that, recovery. And what we're finding ourselves in is not necessarily recovery yet. We're still in a midst of a pandemic. We've got to get to a recovery. But, it seems like nobody knows when that's going to happen. So we just, it's tough, and people are tired, our health people are tired, our public safety and our first responders, they get tired, our hospital staff's tired, it's fatiguing, but, you know, you just endure. We do what we always do as Americans and as people. We endure and we get through this and hopefully turn a corner.
What are the procedures in place right now at the county courthouse regarding open offices and public accessibility, masks, and so forth?
We put a mask mandate on for our employees just when Omicron was, you know, and we still seem to be at a peak. But when it hit its peak a couple of weeks ago, we put masks back on employees inside of county facilities. We're still strongly recommending for citizens coming in to mask up, and our court system is the same way. They're strongly recommending masks. So that's the current status of any mandate or requirements in county government.
How have the employees responded to that, Tom?
Well, you know, it's like employees just represent the community, right? And you get some that are very grateful and see it as logical to avoid a spread. And some are resistive. We just represent the community. And we all know, Steve, how our community has reacted to a lot of facets of COVID, vaccines and masks and any type of regulation. So we all just try to be kind and hear each other out. But at the end of the day, I've just been listening to physicians throughout this entire 2 years. And when physicians tell you it's unequivocal and there's scientific data to prove that if you have two-way masking going on, in other words, both parties talking to one another, have a mask on, that it severely reduces the spread. So that's what we roll with. We try to stay, you know, lined up with science. So
as far as the public coming into the building, are they required to mask up then, I presume?
They are not required. They're strongly urged to,
urged.
And we provide masks. And most do. As I'm doing my daily work around the county, I see 80%+ people masked, but there are some that do not. It's the way it is. We do the best we can under the circumstance.
Have you had any county employees actually die from the COVID complications?
We have. If you're an organization of any size at all, it's unfortunate, but you've probably had employees that are either very sick or have passed away. And we've had a couple in our public services and public safety areas that have gotten sick enough that have passed away. So it's devastating to anyone organizationally. It's devastating to their coworkers, and it brings in the magnitude and the seriousness of this situation. We you just have to keep on rolling.
How many employees does the county have, by the way?
When we're fully staffed, we have 2,800 plus. We're understaffed right now, so I would imagine today we have around 2,500-2,600 employees actively working.
Does that include the sheriff's patrol or not?
It does, yes, sir.
Okay. Now, what's the status of the courts? You know, their backlog of cases. They've had a tough time.
Well, they've still got backlog. It takes, when we did the total shutdown in 2020, we're still recovering in a lot of aspects of society, but the courts are still too. One of the significant moves that we made, we've used some of our recovery money to add some space and some staff for the courts. The facility I'm setting in today at 525 North Main into a true courthouse. We're going to move county administration out of this building sometime before the middle of this year. So that'd be the manager's office, the commission, finance, and any ancillary staff that's not associated directly with the courts will be moving out. And the courts will take this building on. So we'll be adding some courtrooms. Our chief judge is Judge Gehring right now. We'll be adding some staff and judges. And we work our way out slowly from this backlog into the future. So we're working through it. It's a very challenging time, as you can imagine, running. And they're back to full bore, running jury trials and trials to try to catch up. And now our goal is just to give them the physical space and the physical means to get that done.
Well, and you talk about that, but where are the offices going to go? Where are you going to go? You're going to have a facility or something.
Yeah, we'll lease space administratively, and we'll, as that flushes out within the next month or two, we'll be very transparent announcing that to the public, to where mainly where the commission goes. The commission represents the people. So it's very important where we place them and the access that people have to them, and our BOCC meetings, which have always taken place here on the third floor of the county courthouse, will have to be moved. So we'll be announcing those changes to the public within the next few weeks. The commission will talk about it publicly at their meetings. And so we'll be leasing space for a short time, and then the commission will determine what the long-term plan is.
I was going to say, you're going to have some sort of a permanent thing in maybe a brand new building or moving into something, but it has to be a pretty good-sized building to take care of all that.
Right? We need about, for administratively, we need about 40,000 to 60,000 square feet. So it's a fairly good-sized office component. Whether that's a new addition to this, to the, you know, this campus where we sit currently at Central and Main, or whether it's an existing somewhere in the core, that the commission will have to chew on that and make the best decision moving forward for probably, you know, the next 50 years. This will be a move that will set us up governmentally. We clearly don't want to have to repeat this process in 5 or 6 years. So it's a long-term solution that the commission will have to look forward to.
You're listening to Issues 2022 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Sedgwick County Manager Tom Stolz. And I heard recently that the Sedgwick County Jail is now the number one mental health facility in Kansas in terms of number of people being housed. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, it's the sheriff keeps track closely on that. We always about a third of our population in the jail, which is around 1,500, 1,600, 1,700 people, and it will vary from time to time. About a third of that population, so you're talking, you know, 500 plus people, have serious mental health issues. So, and that's, we all understand that that is unacceptable. It has been, it continues to be, and will be high on our radar this year. I have a state legislative platform issue. The state government is back in session now, and we'll be trying to, and there's many facets to improving mental health reform in Sedgwick County. It's facility, it's staffing, it's process. So we'll be working through that. It'll be the topic for the year for the county, and hopefully we, our state partners. The difference this year is that the state seems to have some funding. We've gone through so many lean years at the state level where there's just no budget available at all to do any kind of systems improvement. And this year there seems to be some money and some federal monies flowing in. So the commission will be discussing this also very publicly in the next month or two on how to move forward with mental health reform. And at the end of the day, we should look at our jail, and that shouldn't be the number one place where people with mental health issues end up. There should be an alternative to that.
What other issues interest Sedgwick County during the current legislative session in Topeka?
Well, mental health is number one. You know, workforce shortages, not only within county government and social services, but just generally across the board, we're very interested in. You know, that we've had an issue here locally that's been in the news a lot, and that was we had a juvenile die in custody at GIAC, and it has raised issues, and appropriately so, of juvenile justice, and especially juvenile justice where mental health is a component of whatever the issue is. So we're taking a look at that, very close look at that locally and statewide, on systems with how we treat kids, how we, and that's everything from foster care forward through our juvenile process, our juvenile system, and our juvenile detention facility. So we'll be taking a holistic look at that. I think that's going to be a matter of great interest as we go through this legislative session from the county's perspective. So we have a number of issues and some smaller ticket issues too that we platform through. But you know, jobs, economy, mental health. We're very lined up here in the southeast region of the state with the city of Wichita, with the chamber here locally. We have good synergy moving forward. We all have the same kinds of issues, and we're going to try to tackle it together as a team.
I know local law enforcement people that I've talked to see this an alarming trend in the past few months, possibly related to the pandemic in some ways, and that is juveniles who are not just with mental health problems, involved in crime, murders, shootings, a lot of gun violence going on with youngsters, people that are down, you know, 14, 15 years old.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, Steve, if you look, you can't get on social media or watch the news anymore today without some act of violence happening on an airplane, in a McDonald's, at a store, at a community gathering, at a government function. You can't turn on the TV or the radio and not see that. It does seem like, and I think we can validate this statistically, that our juveniles, our kids, are joining that. Escalated levels of violence, erratic behavior, and it's very challenging for law enforcement, very challenging for corrections professionals today. Because people just seem to be more violent, and they seem to be more violent more quickly. And I think that, you know, unfortunately, and I don't know if it's pandemic or not, I personally think it is. I think that this pandemic has worn this society down and across the globe. I think everybody's tired, and when you get fatigued, I think we all know we get cranky and we say things we shouldn't. And I just think that's happening systematically across our community. And so a large part of what we talk about, just even as a staff here and as we deal with clients who are angry, is just to try to be as kind as possible, to do our jobs professionally, and to try to help people through this. But it's a very different time these days.
I think I should add, just for those of our listeners who may not realize it, Tom, that you spent a good many years with the Wichita Police Department. You were deputy chief at one point. Is that correct?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So before you got involved in the county. Now,
yeah.
Let's switch gears just a little bit. Give us, if you would, an overview of county finances. We're beginning this new year. First, do we have a balanced budget at the county?
We do. The county budget's in good shape, and it's timely because we're just getting ready to start. Matter of fact, we officially start budget process second week of February. And the very first process that we will do is we will sit down with the commission in a retreat format, and we will talk about the status of the finance of the county, which is we're in good shape right now, but we've got extreme challenges ahead of us that are going to jeopardize that solidness of finance. So we sat down with the commission in a room, and we hear their priorities because they represent the people, and then we begin to shape and mold a 2023 budget based on that conversation and a lot of other further conversations that go along. So we're getting ready to start the process. We're in good shape financially in the county, but we have significant workforce issues where we're going to have to look at compensation. We live in an environment now that is inflationary, and we have to provide service jobs. Core service jobs, EMS and fire, sheriff, 911, corrections, Comcare, mental health. These are core service jobs that really aren't optional, and they need to be staffed. And it's challenging right now on a number of fronts, pay being only one of them. But just trying to find people that want to do that kind of work today with the what we just talked about a few minutes ago with the anger of society and the short tolerance of people, it's very challenging. So we're going to have to take a real look as we go through our budget process and probably look at some compensation issues, look at maybe some reform at some of our facilities. As I mentioned before, our juvenile detention facility, our juvenile intake assessment center, we're going to have to look at improvements down there potentially. We have a citizen task force that's going to be a meeting starting next week, and they'll give us guidance on that. But we have to plan for that financially, that we're going to see some changes. So the commission really has its work cut out for it this year, as they do every year. We try to be very judicious with the people's money. We try to keep taxes low. We try to be as thrifty as we can, but it's going to be very challenging.
Inflation is, of course, I think you mentioned this a while ago, but inflation is something that's just starting to impact every aspect of our lives. The all this business with the supply chain, that has an impact on what you're doing. Talk about that for a little bit.
Sure. As government, county or city, state, we experience the same things that private businesses do concerning inflation. And when you have a 6 or 7% inflation rate, and not only an inflation rate, but to add to that, supply chain breakages or delays, costs of commodities and goods escalating exponentially. And, the problem is, I don't think anybody knows how long it's going to last. It could be what we call the new normal, or it could bend and curve and maybe come back into order. But we're going through all of that right now. We have capital projects, roads and bridges and structures that are escalating in price and being delayed because we can't get commodities in to get that done. So we're experiencing. I'm not sure this is not news to people running businesses out there. Everything from small mom and pop businesses, restaurants to aircraft and major employers. We're all experiencing the same thing. It's very challenging.
Okay, so let's just take a minute and talk about What's going on at the county? What would you like to tell the listeners about out there? Because obviously, sometimes I don't think of all the best questions. So,
we've touched on COVID. That's a hot issue. We've talked on budget and legislative agenda. There's an exciting project that we're looking forward to. That is the Health Science Education Center concept, a joint partnership between KU Med and Wichita State Tech that we're beginning to set at a table and plan. Wichita State, Dr. Mumma is leading that charge. That's a very exciting project on a number of fronts for the economy of Wichita and diversification of economy of Wichita and the region. It's exciting. It's exciting for us at the county because there's a potential pipeline for, you know, training kids coming out of high school into social services like public health and mental health, and potentially gives us an internal pipeline and a regional pipeline to fill these very important positions to serve our community. So that's exciting. And then we talked on Cedric's case on our GIAC case. It's challenging. On a number of fronts, there always has to be in matters where there is force used by government, either law enforcement, corrections, or whatever the component. There's a process that has to happen, and it requires patience and diligence, and we're going through that right now. And I know it's a challenge for the community, and I know it's a challenge for the family, but. The first thing we have to look at in a matter like that is where we have injury or death of a person is a criminal review of the matter. That's what our district attorney does. He's completed that. Now we do an administrative review of the situation, whether there's policy that was breached or employee misconduct. So we're going through that now. And then most importantly, there is a process to review and change things that need to be changed. And there's one of two ways to do that. You can have staff do it, internally, changes, or you can involve the community. And you mentioned before that I was with the police department for 30 years, and I've always found in my career that, and I'm no spring chicken anymore, I've been through a lot of this, that when you involve the community, you never lose. I mean, it's the way to attack whatever the critical issue is. If you involve your community, your citizens, either through task force or coalition or transparency and report out to them, that is just the best way to do business. So that's what we're doing here. We're going to we have good people in this community, smart people. Passionate people that will set on a task force, and we will review stem to stern not only the issue with Cedric and his story and how he was in a foster care system, he had contact with police and was taken to juvenile intake assessment. We're going to look at that entire process, that case, and then more globally, we're going to look at just the system of kids in general. And so that's going to be a very important process for the county to lead, and the city of Wichita is partnered with us on that. We will be going through that for the next 90 days and hopefully bring back significant change with the goal. We all have the same goal, that this should not happen. It should never have happened, and it, for heaven's sake, should not happen again in the future. So those are important issues for the county to be tackling over the next, first quarter of the year.
Tom, politics has become kind of a nasty, nasty business anymore. But you've got a board of county commissioners. They're politicians. How are they as a group? They get along very well, or are they constantly slamming each other? How are they doing?
Steve, the concept of a government body, a city council, a state legislator, a county commission group is represent the people, and the our community. When you look from east to west, north to south, we're all a little bit different. We all have different ideas. We all have different passions and drives, and I think our commission reflects that. They're very different, and that's good. If you had five of the same, or seven of the same, or 150 of the same, I think it would be a very strange world. So, to some degree, conflict and discussion and different points of view is what makes the world go round. Makes us a healthy community. Makes us a healthy government. So, and I think our commission of the five we have, they all represent that they're good people trying to do the best they can in a very, and I can't emphasize this enough, in a very challenging time right now.
All right.
And all spectrum. So.
Tom, we're pretty much out of time there. So appreciate you talking with us, and hope to talk to you here. Maybe in a couple of months, we'll talk again about what's going on at the county. Thanks for being with us this
morning. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Our guest, Sedgwick County Manager Tom Stoles, and that's all for this edition of Issues 2022. Of course, we'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.